Thank you, Cecilia. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to open them to the book of Lamentations. Yes, you heard me correctly, Lamentations. Lamentations is found in the Old Testament for some of you that are looking rather confused at this moment. It's an addendum to the book written by Jeremiah, the prophet that bears his name. Pastor, can you be further help? I will be glad to. Page 849 in my Bible. Lamentations chapter 3. In just a moment, we're going to begin reading in verse 22. As you're looking it up, I'd like to remind you on Sunday morning, Sunday evening now, we're in a sermon series called Our God. The purpose of this series is very simple. The more that you know about Him, the more that you will love Him. And so we're learning about God from God. So far, we've seen that He is a God of a second chance. He wants to forgive. He wants to give us a makeover and a do-over. He is a second chance God. We also have seen He is a knowable God. He's not so high, He's not so mighty that He will not reveal Himself to us and allow us to know Him as He wants to know us. He's a God of relationship, not religion, a God of relationship. Last week we saw that He's a holy God. Absolute perfection, absolute purity wrapped up into deity. Today we're going to see He is a faithful God. A faithful God. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 22. These are well-known verses. Perhaps you have sung these verses in songs, but never realized they're Scripture. The prophet Jeremiah writes to those of his day, to us today, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Chapter 3, verse 22. "Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." God is faithful. Would you say that with me? God is faithful. What He says is what He does. And what He does is what He says. Our God is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He never falters, He never fails, He never forgets, He never fumbles in keeping His promises to us, His covenants to us, and His word to us. You say, "Pastor, you're just giving us the company line. You work for the Lord, you got to say that. You're just giving us a cliche." Well, listen, I'm not giving you the company line. I'm not giving you a cliche. I'm just simply telling you what the Bible says about the God of the Bible. The Word of God tells us all about the God of the Word. And it says to us repeatedly, He is faithful. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and faithfulness." Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God which keepeth His covenants and mercy to them that love Him even to 1,000 generations." Deuteronomy 32, 4. "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. He is a God of faithfulness. Without iniquity, just and right is He." Joshua 21, verse 45. "There faileth not once of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass because He is faithful." Psalm 25, 10. "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful." Psalm 89, 8. "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto You? Who is faithful like unto You? You are faithful." When we talk about the faithfulness of God, we're not talking about something that's accidental, incidental, or coincidental. It is a fundamental truth found in the Bible. Let me say that again. When we talk about the faithfulness of God, we're not talking about something that's accidental, incidental, or coincidental. It is a fundamental truth found in the Bible that God is faithful. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he said it loudly, he said it clearly, he said it without stutter, he said it without stammer, he said it without hesitation, he said it without reservation. What did he say? The Lord who calls you is faithful, and He will do what He says. Think about that. The Lord who calls you and I is faithful, and He will do what He says. Now they say a picture's worth a thousand words. And so the Lord in His kindness to us not only tells us who He is, but He will give us pictures in the Bible to illustrate that truth. In Lamentations chapter 3, God gives us an illustration of the fact that He is faithful. Now, let me give you the backdrop of the book of Lamentations. Remember, it was written by the prophet Jeremiah. It's an addendum, if you will, to his book that bears his name. Now, I want you to understand something. He that has ears, let him listen to what the Spirit is going to say to him. History is not linear. Okay? History is, what's that? Circular. In other words, it's constantly going around and around. History repeats itself over and over again. And a people and nation who will not learn from history will repeat the same past that they read about. So America, pay attention. And Americans, pay attention. But let's go back to what Lamentations is going on. Jeremiah the prophet, God's man for that day, has been trying to tell the nation of Israel and the Israelites for over 25 years that God is about to bring judgment to the nation. God is about to bring judgment to the people because of their rebellion and their rejection of His word. God has sent the prophet Jeremiah specifically to His nation, to His people, to warn them, repent, or face the consequences of your sin. God has tried to speak to His people through droughts and through pandemics. They will not listen. So God is now preparing the last straw. He is going to send a foreign power against His nation and people because of their rebellion and their rejection of Him and His word. Jeremiah, being the prophet of God, is laughed at by the people. They call him a gloom and doomer. They call him a fool. They call him a crybaby. Because with tears in his eyes, he appeals to the nation. He appeals to the leadership. He appeals to the people. God means what He says. If we don't repent, we're going to perish. And they don't listen. So what happens? Suddenly, swiftly, and strongly, the judgment of God comes one day. It comes through the Babylonians, one of the most butcherous, barbaric people who have ever lived. They storm into Israel. They take a free country and make it a slave nation unto themselves. They take the Israelites who are there in their homeland, and they take them back to Babylon to be servants and slaves. And those that are not able to do that, they slaughter by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. Jeremiah said it was coming. And they wouldn't listen. in all of this devastation and death to the nation of Israel and to the people of God, Jeremiah has a breakdown. He just falls apart. And in Lamentations chapter 3, he has a conversation with God. You know, when you're in a relationship, and that's what we have with God, sometimes one speaks and the other does what? And then the other will speak and the other will. Relationships imply dialogue, not monologue. And Jeremiah has something to say to God. For 25 years, he has faithfully told the nation and the people, repent because judgment's at hand. They didn't listen, judgment came. Jeremiah is broken. He really thought the people in the nation would repent, that they didn't. He's broken, he's exhausted, he's tired. And so he cries out to God. What we're about to see, beginning in verse 1 of Lamentations 3, is 9 things that Jeremiah is going to say to God in his prayer. This is very raw, this is very blunt, and this is very personal. But remember, in a relationship, as long as you're respectful and reverent, you can say the truth. And this is what Jeremiah feels. And by the way, maybe some of you feel like this right now, what's going on in your life. And if not, maybe one day you will. So listen carefully. Verse 1, follow in your Bibles, Lamentations 3. I don't have time to read the verses. I'm going to tell you what verse it is, and you can look at the verse as I tell you what's going on. And verse 1, Lamentations 3. The prophet begins his prayer to the Lord by saying, God, why are you mad at me? I've been faithful to you. I have preached your word faithfully. God, why are you mad at me? What have I done to you, God? I've been nothing but faithful to you. That's what he says. Verse 2. He carries on his conversation with God. He says, God, why have you left me alone in the dark? Why are you allowing me to experience the dark night of the soul? Lord, I'm so lonesome I could cry. Where are you? Where's everybody else? I'm alone, Lord. Verse 3. Lord, why are you against me? I thought you would be for me, Lord. I thought you were on my side, Lord. More importantly, I thought I was on your side, Lord. Why are you against me? Instead of running with me, Lord, you're running against me. Verse 4. Lord, why are you allowing me to have the pain that I'm going through? Lord, I'm in physical pain. I'm in mental pain. I'm in emotional pain. My body aches with pain. My soul aches with pain. Why are you allowing me to feel this? Verses 5 through 7. Lord, why have you placed me in a trap and will not let me get away? Why have you boxed me in, Lord? Why is the trap sprung on me, Lord? Why will you let me out? Verse 8, Lord, why don't you answer my prayers? Lord, I pray to you. I pray morning to you. I pray evening to you. Lord, you don't hear me. You don't answer my prayers. The heavens are shut. Verse 14. Lord, why do you allow me to be mocked? The people laugh at me. They disrespect me. They ridicule me. Why, Lord? I'm your servant. Verse 17. Lord, why should I carry on? Lord, I'm ready to die. Death is better than going through everything you're putting me through. And then lastly, he says in verse 20, Lord, I have no hope. I have no hope. This is one of the greatest men of God who's ever lived. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame in heaven. And yet he feels this way. His nation has went down and been taken away by the Babylonians. His people have been captive, taken away by the Babylonians. He himself, it feels alone. He hurts. He's suffering. He never thought it would happen this way. After all, the Lord made a promise to Abraham that he would give him a nation. He made a promise to Moses that he would give him a land for that nation. He made a promise to Joshua that he would possess the land that that nation would be given. He promised David that the Messiah would come out of that nation. And now there is no nation. There's no people of God. They've been scattered by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah is saying to himself out loud what some of you might be thinking, God, you have failed us. God, you are unfaithful to us. God, you've broken the promise to us. How can this happen? That's pretty R-rated stuff, isn't it? And you know something? God never interrupts him. How would you do if somebody was telling you all that? Would you let him go once, twice, maybe three times before you knocked him upside the head? Or before you walked away? God allows Jeremiah to vent his emotions. Pay attention. He allows him to vent his emotions. But God doesn't speak to us in the emotion. He speaks to us in the mind, in the truth. I want you to notice what God does in verse 21, because everything is now going to hinge and there's going to be a change. Remember, we speak to God usually out of our emotional heart. God speaks to us into our mind, truth. God's not concerned how we feel, because feelings come and go. God's concerned about our understanding and adhering to the what? Help me out. Truth. Because truth never changes. It's a stabilizer when everything else is falling apart and being blown away. Notice in verse 21, after he goes through all of this, Jeremiah says this, I recall to my mind, therefore I hope. Not I recall to my heart, not I recall to my feelings, not I recall to my emotions, I recall to my mind truth. And from that truth, I have hope. You know what recall to the mind means? It means I came to my senses. You say, Pastor, that's just like the prodigal son. When he was feeding the hogs, he came to his senses, the Bible said, and he came back to the Father. Solomon, remember when we talked about him in the first message of our God series? Solomon blew it. But at the end of his life, Solomon came to his senses. He saw that the things of this world will never make you happy. He needed God. He correctly said everything in this world is nothing but vanity, futility, vanity, futility. He said it over and over and over. He came to his senses. So when you're going through emotional trauma, you oftentimes say things you don't really mean because you're not engaging the mind. So God slows Jeremiah down. In fact, he brings him to a stop. And then in the silence, he speaks to the prophet and he speaks into his mind. And what does he tell him? Well, Jeremiah is going to tell us what God told him. Verse 22 and 23, look at it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Israel has been destroyed. They've been leveled. The people have been carted off. Yet the Lord says to Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Four things as we close. That God speaks into the mind of His servant, His prophet, to stabilize him and remind him, no matter what is going on in the moment, God is faithful. He keeps His word. What are the four truths that Jeremiah is told by God as he speaks into his what? Look up here. Speaks into his what? His mind. Truth number one. God's mercy to us is a gift from His heart of love. It's not dependent on our merit or performance. Let me say that again. God's mercy to us and toward us is a gift that comes from His heart of love. It is not based on our merit or our performance at any given time. God's mercy comes out of God's grace. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Whose mercies? The Lord's mercies. It comes from Him, it comes out of His love, and it's not based on what you say or don't say or what I do or don't do. It strictly comes because He loves us. Mercy. God's mercy. Notice that the second part of verse 22, he says something else to the prophet. He says, God's mercy to us is forever full, constant, and flowing. It's a river of mercy that never runs dry. You see that? Verse 22. Because His compassions, what? Help me out. Fail not. God is a God of mercy. He gives us that mercy out of His love, not based on our merit, not based on our performance, not based on what we think, not based on what we feel, not based on if we have a good day or a bad day. God's mercies are always available to us out of His love. And those mercies are like a river. They flow forever, they flow fully, and they flow consistently. We have rivers in South Carolina that rise high and go low sometimes. Sometimes they have a lot of water, sometimes they don't have so much water. God says, my river of mercy, it always is full. Full to the brim, overflowing. Constantly, continually moving. Notice what else he says to Jeremiah. Now he's speaking to where? If you think God speaks into your heart, you're never going to get a word from Him. God speaks into the mind. That the mind, how you think, controls what you're going to do. He says, Jeremiah, I am going to show mercy to the nation of Israel. I'm going to show mercy to the Israelites. I'm going to show mercy to you, not because you deserve it, not because you merit it, not because of anything you've done. It's just because of who I am. And my mercy is like a river. It's full, it's flowing, it's forever, and it never runs dry. Notice the third truth. Look at verse 23. This is God speaking to the prophet. He's sharing us what God told him. And these mercies, they are old every morning. What are y'all looking at me strange for? Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking out of the wrong side of my glasses. Let me try that again. They are stale every morning. I am so sorry. They are new every morning. That sounds better. Sure it does. Just like the manna fell from the sky, it fell every day. It was new. It was fresh. It just came out of the oven of heaven with honey on it. God's mercies are that way. They're new for the needs of each day. He doesn't give you tomorrow's mercy. He doesn't draw from yesterday's mercy. Mercies are for today, and those mercies that God gives are sufficient for the challenges of each day. Why does He do all of that? Remember what we said? God is what? Look at verse 23. Great is whose faithfulness? God's. God is faithful. Say that. God is faithful. And Jeremiah says, because of His faithfulness, verse 24, I now have a renewed hope. Though my nation has been leveled and carted off, though my people whom I love have been slaughtered and made slaves, I know that God will be faithful. The promises that God made to Abraham, the promises that God made to Moses, the promises that God made to Joshua, the promises that God made to David, they're going to happen. Even if the nation blew it, even if the people blew it, God is still faithful. He's going to make it happen. Because He's faithful. Jeremiah says, He gives me hope. Because He is faithful. He gives me hope in my sickness because He's faithful. He is going to heal me because He's faithful. It might be down here, it might be up there, but He is going to heal me. There's healing in the name of Jesus. He is faithful in my temptations to give me victory. He gives me a way to escape. He gives me a way to endure. He gives me a way to engage the tempters, that I can say no to the temptation and have victory. You don't have to give in to the temptation. You don't have to be like the man who said, I don't have a problem with temptation, I just give in to it. No, you can say no. You can have victory over it. He is faithful in the temptations. He's faithful in the sicknesses. He's faithful in the mess ups. Aren't you glad about that? You can mess up 56,118 times and He'll still be faithful to give you a new start. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. It was 56,213 last week. I know I've used up six more. No, you grin, so have you. Each and every day, He gives us a new beginning, a fresh start. One day we can blow it, but the next day we can do it. He's faithful in our struggles. He says, I'll be with you. He's not going to leave us. He'll be with us. And Jeremiah needed to hear that. And the nation needed to hear that. The people needed to hear that. Yes, God brought judgment against Israel. Yes, He brought judgment against His people. Yes, the Babylonians did it. Yes, they took all the treasure out of the nation. Yes, they enslaved the people, slaughtered the people. God was still faithful because He did not allow the nation or the people to be finally destroyed. He brought them back. A nation was restored. Just keep reading. The people were forgiven. The promises were kept. God is faithful. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what our nation's going to go through. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. There might be some difficult times. We might face the hand of judgment from God. But I'm telling you, He's faithful. God is faithful. What He starts with, He will finish with. What He begins with, He will end with. What He says is what He will do. And if that isn't enough to make you shout, Baptist, you never shout. God is faithful. Heads are bowed in us.